morning. If everyone will come on in and have a seat. I know it's kind of chilly outside and it's kind of getting frosty. So let's just try and make the best of it. I kind of wrapped up so I wouldn't be freezing. Not yet. Okay, the attendances bulletins have been passed out, the little red books, and make sure to sign in. And now we're going to ask for any announcements. I know Debbie Hatfield has one.
Debbie, it's your turn.
Yes, ma'am. Jerry.
Mary Beth called this morning. She can't get off the hill from full tide hill. She told me to announce the poinsettias, the large ones. There's four large ones, she said. They're $14 each. And the small ones are $6.50 each.
Okay.
So those that want them, I guess they need to put a card in the offering plate and say you want them, but whatever.
Okay.
She didn't tell me where to go from there. There we go.
Okay. Do we have any other general announcements? I'm sorry.
There will be no men's breakfast next Saturday.
No men's breakfast next Saturday.
We will resume in January.
And no session meeting tonight. Right, Sam?
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Next Sunday, we will celebrate Jesus' birthday, so it's a good Sunday to invite friends and relatives. The choir will have special programs, and kids will have a special time during the children's time celebrating Jesus' birthday, and Mary Jo will prepare a surprise for them. And kids will get goodie bags, so all kids that will come next Sunday will And Wednesday night, Patrick, how we decided to have potluck this Wednesday?
Yeah, potluck. I really thought about it a lot. And we'll do potluck.
We'll have candlelight service. We'll sing carols in the Norfolk area, and we have a special speaker, right, Jerry?
Yes.
This Wednesday.
Okay. This Wednesday night, potluck at what time?
Normal time.
Okay. Are there any other general announcements? We're going to light the candles before we do prayer requests. So if you will, please take a moment to reflect and remember why we're here for Jesus Christ. Now it's time for prayer requests. I know of one. Gary will have surgery tomorrow, and we'll be. You know, I was going to mention that, but I thought, nah, I don't know about that. Okay, Gary and Julie. Mike?
Mine is a prayer request. I praise God. I thank God for who He is, for Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for the Holy Spirit that so lovingly abides with us every day, every minute, every hour of every day. And I might have told all of you this before, but if I have, I think it's worth telling again. When the air is clear, back to the east, and I shared this with Brother Tyler and Zion this morning. There's a star there, and I'm calling it the Jesus star. You know, the wise men were led by a star to come see the Christ child. And it may have took a span of 2 years after he was born to see the Christ child. But look back in the east tonight, if it clears up, and look at that star. I've been looking at it for a long time now, and every time I see it, being led to every day of our lives. It's a brighter star. Don said it might be Venus, and it might be, but I still don't call it Venus. It's bigger, it's brighter, and there's just a wonderful feeling. And I hope that you can feel that feeling like I do when you see that star and be led by it. And I thank God for that.
Thank you, Mike. Are there, Elizabeth? Are there any others? That's better.
My relative is flying in a couple of days, and it's going to be a long trip for her, so just to pray.
Okay. Are there any others?
Since we still remember about the floods in the spring. I got an email yesterday, and they've had almost as bad a flood in South America. Abuja, a city in, down there close to where I go, and I have been to that city, is in as bad a shape as Nashville was. So just remember them flood victims in Columbia, South America.
If there are no others, if you will please stand for a prayer and adoration.
Would you bow with me? Father, we are filling our hearts and minds this season with the coming birth of Christ into this world. For this is a time that we celebrate His coming that was prophesied for centuries. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child." Father in heaven, we in our hearts this morning, and as Mike has said, every day of our life, are making a careful search for this child. For he truly is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is our wonderful Savior. He came to save His people from their sins. And Father, we so often assemble around this Lord's table and partake of this feast, but there cannot be a crucifixion of Christ without there first having been the birth of Christ. And so we celebrate His coming not only into this world, but into our hearts. This morning we're so thankful, Father, to gather as Your family, as sons and daughters, as brothers and sisters. And we come to exalt Thee and to praise Thee, to adore Thee. And I'm just so grateful for this wonderful body of believers that meets here at Jenkins. And I continue to pray a request of guidance and direction as they search for their pastor. Father, we have mentioned names this morning of people who are in need of our prayers, and I just pray especially that You would be mindful of each need they have. We pray for those who are suffering from the floods there in South America, as Sam has brought this to our attention. Most of all, Father, I'm so thankful that we gather in a place where Your Son Jesus is in our midst. And I just pray that our worship today would be pleasing in His sight. And we, as one body of believers, Father, pray our Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us into temptation. But deliver us from evil, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please remain standing for a call to worship. Sing aloud, sons and daughters, shout with joyful praise. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again we will say rejoice. The God of salvation is near at hand. Our Redeemer is in our midst. With shouts of hope we sing to God. Again we sing rejoice. Make known God's deeds. Proclaim Christ's love for all to hear.
With hearts of laughter we will love.
And we say, rejoice.
Turn in your hymnals now to hymn 124 and 125. We'll sing those together, all verses.
Joy to the earth, the Savior. rocks, hills, and plain. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat it, repeat the sounding joy. No more lessons and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is bound, far as the curse is bound, far as the curse is bound. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prune. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our call to confession this morning, with laughing hearts and joyous hope, we come to you, O God. With tired souls and withered dreams, we come to you, O God. In our joy and in our sorrow, we turn to you, O God. Renew us with your love. Gather us into your strong embrace, that we may know your presence and rejoice in your promised coming. Our prayer of confession, if you would like to follow along in unison. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly into our lives and into our hearts. Renew us with your love. Help us bear fruit worthy of repentance. Where there is hatred, heal us with your love. Where there is discord, calm us with your peace. Where there is sin, cover us with your grace. Where there is despair, strengthen us with your hope. Baptize us with the fire of your Holy Spirit, that we may be refined and cleansed of our sins. Gather us into your midst, that we may be your people. Our words of assurance, do not fear, dear children of God, for God is in our midst. Christ has taken away all judgments against us, and we are forgiven and reconciled to God. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And it looks like it's children's time with Miss Mary Jo. If the children will please come up.
Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be here with you all again. I hope that as this Christmas season approaches, that you are just really taking time to remember what the season is truly about, and that the story that is told, the story of the birth of Christ, isn't just a story. It actually happened, and I know sometimes maybe we just get caught up in that, but it's part of our history. It's God's plan from the very beginning, but yet He is going to come again, and that is the truth that we can find hope in.
Lift up your heads, no need to mourn. His hand is stretched out still. For unto us a child is born, His promise to fulfill. Jerusalem, He cried for you. He did not come to you in vain. His loving arms are open wide for you, and He again. Bethlehem mourning is more than just a memory for the child that was born there, has come to set us free. Bethlehem, sunrise, I can see Him in your eyes. For the child that was born there, His spirit never dies. His star will never grow dim, and child that was born there, has come to set us free. Bethlehem, sunrise, I can see Him in your eyes. For the child that was born. King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He will come
This morning, our offertory sentence is from Deuteronomy. All shall give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord, your God, that He has given you. If our ushers will please come forward. Thank you. our scripture lesson this morning. Before I get to that, did I miss any first-time visitors? I forgot to call for any first-time visitors. Okay, so everyone's been with us today. Great. Our first will be from Romans, and the second will be from 2 Corinthians. By no means, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I want you to turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. And we shall be reading together from this text here shortly, Romans 7. But as you're turning, I share with you from the words of the Hebrew writer. He penned these words: by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. The Hebrew writer said that we need milk, not solid food. Well, I'm here to say this morning that some teachings are milk and some teachings are meat. Today's lesson is meat. Okay? We're not talking Saturday morning comics. So, let's read together from Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. I am sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. For what a wretched man I am. Wow. What a tremendous struggle that Paul has described that was taking place not only in his own heart, but in the hearts of all believers. And he ended by saying, what a wretched man that I am. It's interesting there in verse 14, as I began that passage, Paul said, I am sold as a slave to sin. Wow. Folks, I have never witnessed slavery firsthand. I have read about it on the printed page. I've seen it acted out on stage. I have watched it portrayed on film, but I have never seen in raw reality the horrors of slavery. I've seen enough and imagined enough about it to know that it's cruel, that it's unjust and downright ugly. As an American, I confess I find myself somewhat confused that we as Americans would fight to the bitter end to gain our independence and freedom from the slavery that we felt from Great Britain, only to turn right around and enslave others. It took a civil war to break that yoke. It took a courageous president to stand in the gap and to live misunderstood and to die from an assassin's bullet to break that yoke. Ultimately, as all of us know, slavery was abolished. It was January the 1st, 1863, when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And it was legally adopted and set into motion. And yet something amazingly strange took place. The great majority of the slaves in the South who were legally freed continued to live on as slaves. They continued to live virtually unchanged throughout the Reconstruction period. An Alabama slave was asked what he thought of the great emancipator whose proclamation had gone into effect, and he mumbled, "I don't know nothing about Abraham Lincoln, except they say he set us free, and I don't know nothing about that neither." How tragic. A war had been fought. A document had been signed. Slaves were now legally free, and yet most continued to live on in slavery. Now, my friends, if you think that's tragic, I can tell you one even worse than that. It has to do with Christians living today as slaves to sin. The great emancipator paid the ultimate price to overthrow slavery to sin, and we act like we don't know nothing about that. We act like we don't even know the emancipator. A day came when Jesus set us free. An eternal emancipation proclamation was made known throughout the heavens, all the way to the pit of hell. Doctrinally, this is called redemption. It means released by payment of a ransom. Then he said to every one of us, "You don't have to live under that master any longer. You're free." Before Christ came into our lives, we were hopelessly lost in our lust, helpless to deal with our vulgarity, our glandular drives, our greed. We were slaves. We were chained to the slave block. And my friends, we had to serve the master. There was no power within us to live any other way. Well, the great tragedy of what Paul was saying, even though Jesus set us free, many Christians still live as though enslaved. We live our lives just like the slaves during the Reconstruction period. After Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation, we still choose to live on in slavery. Many Christians are still held in bondage to the same old lifestyle that characterized them before their conversion. We're living as though slaves to the master of sin. Now, folks, what in the world has happened to our message? Where is the victory that is in Christ? Paul is saying, where you were once enslaved to a passion, you're now free from that. You can live above it. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think Jesus was raised from the dead? It was not just to get us to heaven, but to put us on a level in life that is free from slavery. In the book of Romans, Paul raises a question. He said, why should we who died to sin still live in it? Why in the world would emancipated slaves who have been freed from the master of sin return to live under its domination any longer? You know, most of us know 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 by heart. But most of us do not know Romans 6, verse 13 by heart. You see, we have been programmed to fail and to find cleansing. You have not been programmed to yield yourself unto God as one alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I want you to leave the old plantation and stop saying, "Yes, Master," and start saying, "Lord Jesus Christ, this is your day to be lived for your glory. Carry out your victory, Lord, this day." In the chapter 3 of the book of John, there was that conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." What many of us seemingly don't know is before you can be born again, you have to die. In Romans chapter 6, and I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles, just a couple of chapters, maybe one chapter or so back, Romans chapter 6. I begin reading in verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Absolutely not. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" Now, let me pause right there just a moment, because I'm interested in knowing this. I probably shouldn't ask it, but I'm going to. And I want to see a show of hands this morning. I'd like to know how many of you at some time in the past have been baptized. If you don't mind, would you raise your hand? Now keep them raised just a second, and I want you to look around. The majority of us in this room at one time or another have been baptized. Okay, put your hands down just a moment. In verse 2, Paul said, "We died to sin." Now Paul, what do you mean we died? How did we die to sin? Paul says, "How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have and live a new life. If we have been united with Christ like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection." That's what Jesus was talking about when He was having that conversation with Nicodemus. You must be born again. He's talking about this resurrection life. Verse 6, "For we know," and that's the problem. Some of us just don't know this. "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with." Our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now you ask me, what is the key to freedom from slavery to sin? I'm telling you this morning, it's death. It is death. Let me illustrate this briefly. Most of you know I work at a funeral home. I've been there for 20 years now. The first 10 years of my experience there was in the prep room. Now, I'm not going to get real gory, but just bear with me a moment. Just trust me for a second. I've spent a lot of time over the years, and still do. We kind of rotate our turn. We have people that die at home, people that die in the nursing home, people that die in the hospital, and all of us that are employed there have to do our share of making, quote, death calls, is the way they refer to it. And so when I go to the hospital or to her house to pick up someone and I bring them back to the funeral home
and I carry them back to the prep room, and we place their body on this porcelain table to be prepared, I begin to think in my mind, and I've done this 1,000 times, just a few minutes ago, that person was alive. Now, medical science may define death as a straight line on an EKG, but the Word of God defines death as a separation of the body from the spirit. The body goes back to the dust of the earth from whence it came, but the spirit goes back to God who gave it. And I think to myself, just a few minutes ago, that person lying on that table was alive, but the spirit's gone now. Now, I remember distinctly one day looking at a man that I had just picked up. Now, I was raised in the same community I live and work in now. All of my life I've been there. And I knew this man years ago had been caught embezzling funds from the bank where he worked. And he had to serve some time for it. He was convicted of it. And I knew this man had been unfaithful to his wife at one time in the past. He had been guilty of adultery. I knew this. It was a fact that everybody knew. And I had heard with my own ears this man use God's name in vain and profanity. And I was thinking to myself, will this man ever commit those sins again as I looked at him on that table? And I quickly thought, no. And the reason is because he has died. He is dead. Well, my friends, neither will you commit these sins anymore, Paul said. Why? Because in Romans, you have died with Christ. Paul said you have been united with Christ in his death. And yet sometimes we just don't know that. Paul said it's no longer you that lives, but it's Christ who lives in you. Don't see yourself stumbling along trying to keep up with the Savior in life. He lives in you, and you in Him. And that is the hope of glory. That is what is so exciting about it. So you and I must live in light of this truth every day. The light bulb of this truth must be turned on in our hearts, my friends. Now the question I raise is, how did we die? Well, Paul said in Romans 6 that you were crucified with Christ. When you came to know Jesus as Lord and to trust Him as your Savior, theoretically, oh my word, it's 9:58. I cannot believe this. Theoretically, you were placed into Christ. Now, maybe you didn't feel it, but positionally, when you came to know Jesus as Lord, positionally, you were placed into Christ. And what Christ has experienced, you have experienced. His death has become your death. Let me illustrate this just for a moment. Let's just suppose that I take a piece of paper here, and I take a book, and I place the book or the paper inside the book, and I drop the book. Well, what happens to the paper? Well, obviously, the paper goes with the book. If I mail the book to China, what happens to the paper? Well, what the book has experienced, the paper has experienced. Well, so it is with you in Christ. When you embrace Jesus through faith, positionally, you were placed into Christ. What Christ has experienced, you have experienced. His death has become your death, and you've got to know that. And you've got to live in light of that truth. If I took two square cubes of sugar, and I placed them in a cup of hot, steaming tea, and I began to stir the sugar up, pretty soon, you will not be able to distinguish the sugar from the tea. So it is with you in Christ. You have been so united with Christ that what Christ has experienced, you have experienced. His death has become your death. Let me illustrate it this way. If your father drowned in a swimming pool or in a swimming accident, maybe in the river, at the age of 12, and your mother died at the age of 7 from TB,
where would you be? Well, obviously, I would have never been born. Why not? It's because my experience is tied up with their experience. Well, the same principle is true with you in Christ. Through faith, you were placed into Jesus. And my friends, what He has experienced, you have experienced. His death has become your death. And my question for you this morning is, have you died? The key to freedom from slavery to sin is death. Anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. The word cross is a symbol of death. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German Christian living during World War II in Nazi Germany, said this, when Jesus bids a man to come unto him, he bids him come and die. I close with a story of a missionary who sailed from Liverpool for the African coast. He changed vessels at Lagos. He boarded a coastal tugboat to make his way into the fever-infested spot where he would invest the rest of his life. And while changing vessels, the missionary came upon a cynical slave trader who protested by saying, if you go to that place, you will die. To which the missionary man of God replied, I died before I ever left London. Isn't that great? I died with Christ. I died to my will. I died to my flesh. I died to the domination of Satan. I died to the power of sin. And I refuse to live in the clutches of that old master any longer. Oh, my friends, what a way to live. If you live in light of that truth every day, then the power of the resurrected Christ will set you free from the slavery of sin. But unfortunately, most of us do not live in light of that truth. And do you know why? Let me illustrate for you what our problem is. And I will close with this illustration. There was once a lady who lived in the deep south who fell madly in love with her boyfriend, and ultimately they married. They had a great marriage. And after years of matrimony, he was suddenly taken from her side with a massive heart attack. And just not being able to part with him physically, she had him embalmed, put in a chair, and sealed up in a glass case and set right in front of the door. And every time she walked in the house, hi, John, how are you? Well, about 6 months later, she decided to take a trip to Europe. And while in Europe, she met a man who swept her off her feet. And after a whirlwind romance, they got married. Now, remember, this man has never been to her house. He's never even been to the States before. And they take their flight back to America, and he decides, you know, here's my moment to lift her up over the threshold and walk her into my new home. So he picks her up, and he opens the door, and he walks in and drops her right there and says, who is this? And she said, oh, I forgot to tell you, that's my late husband, John. Well, needless to say, her new husband not only dug a big hole, but he buried John, glass case and all, in the backyard. Now, my friends, that is exactly what some of us have done. We have put the old man in a case, and we continue to acknowledge the old man every morning and every evening of our lives. We live as though the old man is still alive, but the truth of the matter is we are dead to him. He has no right even to be in our conscious thinking. We have a new master who has walked us across the threshold, who has given us a new love and a new life and a new hope. And Paul raised that question, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Well, my friends, our lesson this morning had two parts. Part A is, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Part B is, that is January the 2nd. Part B is, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, I'm thankful for truth. And I'm thankful to know that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'm grateful, Father, that we, as your children, can know that the good news is the resurrection life, the being born again, is Christ living in us. And we can have the power to deal and overcome with those passions and that slavery to sin. So I pray your blessing, Father, that we can live each day in light of these truths. I'm just so thankful for your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing together this beautiful invitation here?